Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back Show, where intimacy is real. If you desire to intimately connect with yourself, your significant other, children, family, friends, community, and your higher power, this show is for you. Thus, we explore intimate topics, inspiring life stories, spirituality, and insightful tips on strengthening relationships. This show is hosted by Dr. April and her co-host, Dr. Kelly. Now let's get this episode of the Bringing Intimacy Back Show started, because we share with you the secret power to intimacy to create a life you love, or love the life you create. Now here's your host, Dr. April, and co-host, Dr. Kelly.
Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. We're in the month of February, and Dr. Kelly, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous. I don't know if you can tell, this is pink. The light is too bright, but I'm actually wearing pink.
Okay, that's good. Yes. So, you know, Dr. Kelly, in the month of February, we were just talking about a variety of things, and our last episode was Big Things in Little Packages, which was a great episode.
I enjoyed that.
Yes. And of course, February is my favorite month because it is really the month of love. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I hear it every year in February.
Yes,
it's everywhere. Definitely. Hearts are everywhere. They replace the snowflakes.
Yes, definitely. And in the month of love, it's also, when we talk about love, it's about confidence. And today we have someone who is, I mean, she blows me out of the water when it comes to confidence and love. And I'm welcome back. She's one of my favorite guests I have almost every year, I guess, or so. Hi, welcome, Molly Stewart.
Hi, so good to be back here. I'm happy to be here. Nice to see you, April and Kelly.
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, so today we're talking about building self-confidence and love handles and all. And you just look amazing. I just love those. You see those earrings she's got on?
Yes, I do.
Yes, they're fun earrings. I like them a lot. They make, you know, since I don't have any hair, it's sort of like a nice, beautiful hair extension.
Gorgeous. It's really great. I like the feathers, too.
Thank you.
You know, Marla, I love this topic because not a lot of people know this if they just met me, but I lost a lot of weight in the last year.
Congratulations. It's something you wanted to do.
Yes. I needed to do it. And it was really impacting my confidence in many areas. And so I'm really looking forward to this topic today. I feel like it's zoning in right on me.
Yeah.
It is too, truly.
Yes. Yeah. Good. But if those of you who do not know about Mala is the, which I just called her, is the executive producer or executive director of Velvet Lips out in Miami and Atlanta. Am I correct? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
She's a sexologist and intimacy relationship sex coach, a speaker, an author. And you have a new book coming out.
Yes, The Ultimate Guide to Seduction and Foreplay, Techniques and Strategies for Mind-Blowing Sex. So yeah, Dr. Jess and I, we put together this book. It is like a labor of love, and it's beautiful and amazing. And yeah, I love it so much. I'm proud of it.
Good. Yes. And she has, if you go into our website, a variety of different videos and stuff to help people connect intimately with others and even with themselves. You've written over 200 articles over the years?
Yeah, I've written a lot of articles. They're everywhere and contributed to a lot of magazines, including like Cosmo, Men's Health, Ebony, you know, all sorts of stuff. So
awesome. Yes. And then she has this wonderful conference. I don't know if you've heard of it, Dr. Kelly. It's called Sex Down.
Sex Down South.
Yes, conference.
Well, yeah. I did see that. I love the logo with the arrow.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Love that logo. Love to hear a little bit more about Sex Down South. I'm figuring there's a number of innuendos there and not just based in Atlanta.
Yes. How long have you been doing that?
We are moving into our seventh year this year.
Wow.
So we've been doing it for 6 years. Yeah. So last year we did a virtual year, of course, because of COVID. So that was a new experience for us. But yeah, we're happy. It's going to be in September. So if everything is good to go and we're good and clear by July, we will be having it in person.
Yes, tell us a little bit about the conference.
Yeah, so the conference is really great. It's basically an amalgamation of all things sexuality, right? So it's like, sex and survivorship, sex and disability, LGBTQ folks of color, talk about tantric sexuality. We talk about all sorts of different kinds of everything, kinky, polyamory, non-monogamy, reproductive justice. So basically it's like workshops that I've done. So workshops during the day, and then we have fun and party at night. So we have a dungeon, we have a healing space, we have like all sorts of things that people would need in order to, have fun and, and learn about dungeon. Sexuality.
A dungeon? Tell me more about the dungeon.
Yes. So the dungeon is a, we have lots of equipment and we call it the labyrinth, and it is a rack aware dungeon. So risk aware, consensual kink dungeon. We have dungeon monitors. We have, people come in and teach, we have, a lot of different kink educators that come in, do all the things.
Well, the 50 so. Shades probably opened a lot of doors for you.
Like you said, what?
The 50 Shades series. A lot of really,
we've been doing kink way before 50 Shades came out. So
educate us.
Yeah,
they opened the doors for a lot of people that might not have otherwise even thought of it.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, I think our first year of having the dungeon, we had Jasmine and King, and we had, and I did a, helping folks telling folks how to, do choking or spanking or whatever. It really introduced, I'm sorry, I'm distracted by the noise outside. Trying to talk over it because it's so loud. Sorry about that. You said what?
We do hear you well.
Okay, great. So there were people who had never done kink before or who were kind of like thinking about Candy's dungeon. And with Candy's dungeon or whatever, it was more like a performance kind of thing. And so people really thought that dungeon was like, you're dressing up in kink gear and maybe that's about it. Maybe someone will spank someone with something. And we're like, kink is not that, right? Like kink is not that. And so we really had to help educate people, show people how it's done, and people really got into it. And so we really, the dungeon was a really beautiful, beautiful place. And from that, I actually have some clients who came to me and were just like, I want to learn more and I want to do more. So it was exciting.
I have a question. And you'll have, this is all really new to me, just so you know. I was like, I was up in northern Michigan. I didn't even see my first black person until I was 14, let alone hear about kink. And I'm sure it was there. But I might have some odd questions, but this is what a lot of people, we just want to make sure that we open the door and educate them and that they can explore different things that are of interest to them. And so I was curious, how do people reach out to you to get education on this? I think I read that you were even doing some sex education in schools or different venues.
I don't do schools, but I do different venues. So like different sex shops. I, you know, run workshops. I teach my own classes. I have downloadable classes that people can learn from. I have, people come and request me if they want private one-on-one coaching. So it's, people come to me in all sorts of different ways. So, you know, different organizations have contacted me to do workshops for their people. Everybody from, you know, in Europe to, you know, Canada to here. So it's been really, really amazing. And it just really depends. And I also, you know, attend a lot of classes of different like kink clubs, dungeons, things like that. But yeah, I've been able to, you know, teach at different dungeons, like I said, different sex shops, as well as, you know, private organizations who want to learn more.
Yeah. How was 2020 for you in the sense of your
business? Oh my God.
And work and all that? And what's new with you?
2020 was absolutely wonderful for me. 2020 was probably one of my best years yet, despite COVID, right? So it was really, really interesting that, the world was kind of shut down. Well, it was shut down. And, but I had already been doing video stuff with people for many years. So for me, it wasn't a huge transition. And so, yeah, 2020 was a great year. I was able to adjust to just more volume of, you know, video calls. And I got pregnant. So that was really exciting, awesome. You know.
Wow. Tell me about it. Yes.
Yeah. Like just a lot of good news, you know, great things happened for us. I got pregnant. My wife and I bought another house in Atlanta. Awesome. It was just a really fantastic year. Zero complaints about 2020, except for like what was happening globally, right? Like the racism, the, you know, last president, you know, the, you know, all the issues that were sort of plaguing our social environment, which were plaguing a lot of my clients as well. So I minimized my news intake, minimized my social media intake, and that really helped me to have a really productive 2020.
Yes, yeah. And so what did you end up having?
My baby's due April.
Oh, April. Okay. You look so thin right here.
These bones are, yeah.
I can't even tell. I was like, wow.
Yeah. She's here. The belly's here.
Yeah. So
you couldn't get sexier. You just did.
Yeah.
I've had a really great pregnancy. You know, a lot of people who say like, oh, you know, have been sick all pregnancy or whatever. Like I've had a really phenomenal pregnancy. Haven't been sick. Everything has been fine and flowing smoothly. And yeah, I've been really blessed and happy.
Yes. Well, it looks like you've been extremely healthy, which is great. Cause sometimes when people take on extra weight, but you were, yeah, beautiful and amazing. And this is actually what the show is about. Cause, the show was inspired by someone who was feeling that they were overweight and like, oh my gosh, how do I become sexy and all that when I'm overweight and that kind of stuff. Well, we're going to take a small break, but before we take a small break, I want to talk a little bit about the American Heart Association. We're honoring them this year because that's our charity of the month. They do a great thing. As you guys know, heart disease, and especially in certain communities, really take the lives of millions and millions of people. So check out the American Heart Association. One way to give is to go to www.2.heart.org. We're going to take a small break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about how if you're struggling with your body, how you can still be sexy. I mean, just look at Marla. She's just amazing.
I mean, look at those vibes.
Yes, yes. We'll take a small break.
No pun intended, Marla.
Are you wanting a vacation in paradise? A vacation to rekindle the passion. A vacation without the kids. A vacation where you can learn how to communicate, where you and your partner actually hear each other and gain insight. If so, vacation counseling is your next vacation. Dr. April Brown has created vacation counseling in Southwest Florida as a perfect option for you and your partner. Our retreats are one couple at a time. We have a variety of packages available to choose from, including virtual couples retreats. If you and your partner are interested in the vacation counseling, please visit us at vacationcounseling.com for more information on pricing and packages. Also, follow us on Instagram and Facebook to keep track of the latest news, stories, activities, or coupons on vacation counseling and Dr. April's other services. We encourage you to sign up to receive a monthly newsletter called Intimate Connections at drAprilBrown.com. Remember, if you and your partner are struggling with communication and intimacy, and you all are looking for a retreat to connect, vacation counseling can be your next vacation in Southwest Florida.
Welcome back to the Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. And today we're talking about confidence and love and handles and intimacy. And of course, we have our expert here, Marla Stewart. Yes. So, Marla, I don't know if you've, I'm pretty sure you've seen or you've heard women who struggle with their body image. How does that impact the bedroom? And what advice would you give them in the sense of women who struggle with their body image? They thinking they're too big or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. So a lot of our, you know, confidence, our body confidence, sexual confidence comes from our thoughts, right? So in order for us to change our thoughts, we really have to, number one, be aware that we're speaking the way that we're speaking. And we also have to be aware of how there's always a positive to those negative things, right? So for instance, you know, I wrote an article about how a lot of us struggle with different body parts, right? For me, mine was my belly, you know? And so it was just like, oh, my belly, every time I look at my belly, it's like, you know, it just wasn't right, right? And so, you know, I had to change my thoughts in a sense of, okay, well, what's positive about my belly? What's great about my belly? Well, my wife loves my belly. She loves hanging on my belly, rubbing on my belly. She loves laying on my belly. That's a nice thing. You know, sometimes it's a nice little shelf, you know, or whatever, you know, that might be. Whatever the case may be, you got to think of something positive. And you also have to think of when you're, and then I also say, think about your affirmations, the positive affirmations. And so with positive affirmations, you really have to think about it in the present tense. You have to think about it affirmatively, and it's got to be emotional for you. So with, you know, something like my belly, you know, I got to think, okay, well, how do I want to think about this? So what is the opposite of those thoughts around my belly? So not only what is the positive thing about my belly, but, you know, if I want to change it, what would that look like? And so really implementing these positive affirmations can really help change your brain. And so a lot of it, we do have the exercise in the Ultimate Guide to Seduction and Foreplay. And we talk about, I give you step-by-step on how to do this. So you think about your flaws, not only, you know, maybe with your body, but maybe your sexual flaws, things like that. You can really see what the positive side is, and then what the opposite is, how you'd like to change it. And then you sort of endorse those with a bunch of other positive affirmations. Because, you know, for every negative thought we have, guess what? We need 5 positive thoughts in order to bring that up. And I always say, and then we need a 6th one for that extra boost, right? And so I think that is the part that we get stuck on, because if we sit there and concentrate on those negatives, we never get to the positives. And there's a really great book, Come As You Are by Dr. Emily Nagoski. I'm not sure if you read it or not, but it's really talks about the health at every size, right? And I think that is absolutely fantastic, because when a lot of doctors see me, they assume that I have health issues. They think that I might have high blood pressure or this or that, because technically I would be considered obese, right? At, you know, before I got pregnant, it's like 5'8", 190. And so they were like, you know, they think I have issues, but then they take my blood or they're like, you're actually really healthy. Oh, you're doing everything right. And even thinking about like my midwives who are, you know, great and amazing, you know, they're kind of like, we got to test you for gestational diabetes, which is what they do for everyone, of course. But it was sort of like, it was almost like they might've thought there was going to be an assumption that I was going to have it. And I don't, because I do eat really healthy. I'm just, you know, fatter, I guess, than what they want me to be. And so it's very interesting to think about, like, how, you know, we are, how we can be, I don't know if y'all remember this, but this was probably like early 90s when there was a woman, I can't remember her name, but she talked about being fit and fat. And I remember my mom just being like, yeah, I can't be fit and fat, you know? But thinking about your body, and we're inundated with so many media messages and messages telling us that we need to be this weight, or even doctors or healthcare people saying we need to be this weight in order to be healthy. But then actually embodying like, hey, I'm actually healthy. You can't tell me there's anything wrong with me. And so that is the part that's actually also very fascinating. And so I feel like we need to also educate health providers and things like that. But at the same time, we run under capitalism, consumerism. So we have to make people feel insecure in order to buy our whatever products, right, that we want them to buy to improve their life or whatever. So I think, you know, there's just like a lot of different, you know, messages that we get that tell us that we're not pretty or we're not sexy or that we need to do this or we need to have bigger boobs or a bigger butt or, you know, whatever the trend is for women's, especially women's bodies, and how to be more attractive to attract the people that we want.
Marla, were you born with this confidence? When did it happen? I'm just curious.
You know, it's funny. I thank my mother for being real with me and being authentic. And she probably didn't know this at the time, but being very sex positive. Mm-hmm. And she always, I always had a lot of positive reinforcement growing up. And I think that is huge. A lot of people don't get positive reinforcement growing up. And I remember being, you know, with partners where I would say like, oh, good job, way to go. And they'd be like, are you being sarcastic? And I'd be like, no, like that is what I honestly think. And I think when you do that or teach that at the beginning as a child, the child learns that. So me being the child, learning that positive reinforcement, understanding goals, objectives, having secure attachment, you know, all of these things are contributing factors into why I'm able to not be able to people please or, you know, really be authentic in who I am and how I express myself and how I move through the world that way. So, yeah.
Marla, what would you say to somebody who actually had a mother that was not being positive, and that's where some of their self-image issues came from? It stems from the mother saying, don't eat that, or your jeans are too tight, or whatever. How could you encourage that individual?
Yeah, so I do that in a couple of ways. One is thinking about, is the mother still in their life? And so if the mother is still in their life, unfortunately, I encourage them to break off.
Fire them. I'm just kidding.
What yeah, fire the mother. You know, yeah, because it's, you know, a lot of people say they're toxic or whatever, like they're not healthy for you. And if you want to continue living a healthy life and not getting that message, then you need to get away from it. Sort of like how like I had to stay away from social media and all that stuff. You get away from it in order to focus in on what you need to do so that you can be progressive in how you move through the world. And so I encourage them to break it off. I've had to break off, you know, relationships with family members, you know, with people who were not healthy for me. So that's the first part, breaking it off. The second part is now we need to repair and do some healing work. And so it might be writing a letter and just saying like, you did this to me, and not necessarily giving it to that person, but writing it down, journaling, just being like, this is how it's affected me. And then work on positive affirmations. If you have a partner or somebody who is there reinforcing that for you. So for instance, saying a positive affirmation like, I love my body and I think it's sexy and beautiful and whatever, right? And then having your partner also say, yes, your body is sexy and beautiful. So hearing those messages and having that partner actually repair some of that healing that your parents probably did can be really, really helpful for you in the long run. So
you could even carry it back to the parent for that matter. Like if a parent is still saying things to you, you can rebut, you can reframe it and say, you may believe that, you may be right, but I don't believe that. And try to reinforce a boundary as well. And then if they will not, they keep at it and you can't set that boundary, then yes, absolutely. Right.
Yes. I think that's really good to set the boundary. And one really, I saw this really creative way of setting a boundary that I want to share is like somebody had a foghorn, right? And so whenever the parent said something that they were like, they do the foghorn. And so the parent got in there, they didn't want to hear the foghorn anymore. So they finally changed the way that they said things to that person. I thought that was absolutely
That's
brilliant
hilarious.
Because it's behavior.
Yeah. Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes those negative messages, like you said, start up in the brain. You know, I'm working with people. I'm not saying negative things about themselves because you live with yourself for the rest of your life.
Yes. And partners can help with that too. Like recognizing that negative speech and then saying, well, hey, what's good about that? And it turning it into positive speech. But yeah, it takes time. Sometimes I think people think, oh, this can be done overnight or within a week. And it really can't. You really have to repeat these things over and over again in order to train your brain. So yeah, I've been working with a client now for 6 months and she didn't do her beginning homework. And now we're returning right back to it because I'm hearing those negative thoughts again, right? Like, it's sort of like, wait a minute, what happened? We were here. You reverted back. Why did you revert back? Oh, I didn't do this or I didn't do that or whatever. So I think it's really important. Like, I mean, you all know it's important for people to do their homework and to really invest in themselves. So when you don't do that, when you don't do the work, then you can't heal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I wanted the terminology we used earlier. It's positive self-educator. Can you explain to our audience exactly what that means?
Positive self-educator? What do you mean?
You're a sex positive educator.
Oh, yeah. Positive. Yes, being sex positive. Yeah. So yeah, to think about how we frame things now, like, oh, I'm a sex positive educator, a sex positive person or a sex positive educator, or anybody who's being sex positive means that they are embracing to have sex, to not have sex, to really invoke your own choice, and to be authentic in your sexuality. So it's sort of a very non-judgmental way of being, of saying like, hey, I'm here. I embrace who you are as a sexual being. I embrace who you are as a sexual being. I embrace myself as a sexual being. Or maybe I embrace, maybe you're not a sexual being, but I embrace that too. Right. And so really just being affirming of the way people are in their life, as opposed to don't do that. You'll get pregnant. Don't do that. The consequences of doing this will be blah, 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 which, you know, in the academic world, which is where I come from, that is how a lot of funding gets, right? So, you know, there's a lot of funding there. So people tend to go towards sex negative because the money's there, as opposed to shifting the narrative of being sex positive. And what does it mean to accept yourself and accept others for who they are?
Yeah. I have a question for you. It's probably not time for questions yet, but is that a paddle behind you?
Yes.
I've been distracted by the paddle.
Oh, I didn't even notice that one. Okay.
I got it last year in 2020. I have not been able to use it yet because, you know, we're pent up in our houses. But it's a custom-made paddle that I got. Yeah.
I don't see any holes in it.
Yeah, no holes. Just
I got paddled by the principal. I think I could still sue him. But anyway, and he had holes in that.
Limitations on that, yeah.
I'm dating myself. Right. But you can't date yourself. Who should you date? That's good advice, Marla. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For you too. And we also, I want to give the phone number to our listeners so that they can call in and ask you questions. So those of you that are listening and watching live, the call-in number for listeners is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. Ask Marla Renee Stewart some questions.
Absolutely.
Yes. So sometimes people feel uncomfortable about sex because they don't know their body. And I know you do a lot of work in helping people understand their own body.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm actually going to be coming out with a sexual strategist certification. And it's basically a culmination of a curriculum that I've developed just over time that combines sort of, you know, what you do, right? Like sex therapy. So the listening aspects, the connection aspects of therapy, bringing in somatic body work. So you're actually able to touch people. And then the comprehensive sex ed piece, which is the educational piece. So, you know, around healthy relationships, body awareness, all of that stuff. And so, so that is how I am able to speak to all of those things. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about it. I call it, sexual strategist. That's what I call it.
Yeah, you're a sexpert.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the great things that you have on your website, it's all these little videos or people can sign up to do these workshops on learning different things, even like kissing and a variety of things that I've seen over the years.
Yeah. I'll have some more actually coming out. But yeah, I have some, you know, I have a general, if somebody wants to just learn about kink, you know, workshop, if somebody wants to learn about kissing, or if somebody wants to learn about, you know, G-spot or squirting, you know, if somebody wants to apply sex skills, that kind of thing. So yeah, I'm excited about that. They can instantly, you know, download them. They have it, or you know, they can view them for 30 days or whatever. And so, I'm excited.
So you're saying that people can learn these things. Some people think they can't learn these things.
Yes. Everything can be learned. I think it's
even,
I'm sorry, say it again.
Learn to be a good kisser, even if you haven't before, you know,
absolutely.
not just kissing, but of course other sexual things, but kissing is foreplay.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So with kissing, it's one of those things where it's a compatibility, right? And so you either need to get someone on the same page as you, right? Or you need to adapt to their style. So it can be learned if the person's willing to learn. However, if the person's not willing to learn, then probably you're just not going to be compatible in general on a relationship as a total, like romantic relationship. And the kissing science tells us a lot of things. It tells us, you know, kissing science actually can tell us who we should partner with. It can tell us like who we're compatible with biologically. And so that kind of thing is going to also be instrumental when, when you're choosing your partner. It can be instrumental when you're choosing your partner.
So you can tell just by kissing if a partner should be yours or not, or just this assessment?
Yeah. Say you kiss somebody, right? I had this ex-fiance and he was, I kind of liked the way he kissed, right? But like not all the way. And so I would say like, hey, I like to be kissed this way, right? And he would be like, well, I don't want to kiss you that way. So that then I should have known, well, then how am I going to get turned on? Your lips are your number one erogenous zone. If you can't turn me on with these, why would I want to move forward in this relationship, you know? And so I think it's really important to understand like the kissing science is real. And if we were honest with ourselves, because sometimes I think, and especially, you know, as cisgender women, we tend to be like, don't really trust ourselves all the time, or, you know, we get messages that we shouldn't necessarily trust our thoughts. So when we try to listen to our gut, you know, sometimes we just throw it out the door. But I think if we were more honest with ourselves, we listened to our gut and our intuition, I wouldn't have spent 2 years with that guy. You know, like I should have just listened to myself. But I didn't, you know? And so, you know, and that's one of the things I regret. So when I speak to universities or colleges and I speak to, you know, these women's groups and I'm like, look, you know, listen to your gut, listen to what it says. It tells you a lot. It's important.
I like that. I completely agree. If they can't kiss, it's like, bye. Honestly, there's a big thing. I did hear somebody say that good communication, good sex, bad communication, bad sex.
Ah, yes. You know, it's so funny because communication is such a broad thing, you know, and I think, you know, communication goes along with context and experience. So when we communicate, we have to know how to communicate and what we are communicating and make sure that someone is actually understanding what we mean instead of using their own context and experience from their past to understand what you mean. So I think it's really important. But yes, communication, talking about things is huge. For a lot of my couples, they're constantly discovering things in front of me. You know, they're like, oh, I know you like that, or, you know, or something along those lines, because they haven't talked about it. And I think that can be really detrimental in some aspects, because like, for instance, I have clients right now where one just is realizing she's asexual, right? And so her husband's like, well, now what do I do? Like, I don't want to force her to have sex with me, but like I'm a sexual person. Like how do we negotiate this thing? And so I think if she were to be honest with herself, she would have known like hey, maybe this isn't working for me, or I don't really, you know, or whatever the case may be. But I mean, we're working with it, but it's a challenge. It's a challenge because if people would know that it's okay to be sexual or not sexual and accept themselves for who they are, they wouldn't be in situations where they would have to come see people like us, right? I mean,
if they're asexual in the relationship, they should just come right out with it and say, you know, I just want to let you know I'm asexual, or it's really like number 6 on my list of 10, or maybe even my 6 on a list of 6.
Yeah.
You know, because some men are asexual and mm-hmm. don't think that they are, but they are. And I've had some clients that have had asexual husbands and the wife wants sex more and they're like, what? And it's just, that's not the perception or the stereotype. So we're just
right.
blowing those right out of the water.
Most people don't sometimes even talk about sex before they get married.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the issue.
Yes. You know, they just do it.
They just do it and fool around and all the, yeah. But they don't talk about their likes and dislikes and yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah. When they come to me and I talk about like, yeah, well, how many times a week do you want to have sex? What kind of sex do you want to have? Do you want to have like passionate romantic sex? Do you want to have raw carnal, you know, sex? Like what is it that you want to have? Well, you know, like all of these different questions are like, that they just have never even thought about. And so, yeah, I think it's super important. And we have like a ton of questions in our book, like go through each question and talk about it. And it's amazing what you learn just by asking one simple question about sexuality.
Yes. Well, we're going to take a small break. And when we get back, we're going to learn more about your book and also take questions from the audience.
If you are listening to this commercial, you have a pulse. If you have a pulse, you have stress. You may need a therapist. How do you find a therapist? Oh, you go to your phone book. Wait, what's that? Go to the World Wide Web, you type in therapist near me. And then you find a list of acronyms. LMHC, LPC, NCC. How on earth do I understand this and navigate this? Go to drkellyboucher.com. Dr. Kelly specializes in helping people that struggle with anxiety, stress, burnout, grief, depression, compassion fatigue, sleep issues, body image issues. You can have help today. DrKellyBoucher.com.
Welcome back to the Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. And today we've been talking with Marla Stewart about building self-confidence. You see how beautiful she is. And you wouldn't even believe that she's what, I guess it's 9 months, what, 6 months?
7 months.
7 months.
I'm trying to count backwards. And how sexual and beautiful she is. Yes. Yeah. So Dr. Kelly, do we have questions from the audience?
I have two. One is actually Darla from Maine. Darla wants to know how you define sexuality. Marla.
Oh, sexuality is so broad. It's sort of a word. It's like a big umbrella blanket word that we use to describe like a bunch of different things. But when I think about sexuality or, you know, somebody being sexual, I think it's the thinking about the sexual energy that pervades whatever it is that we're doing. So if we're talking about sexuality, sexuality is just, it's who we are. It is our being, it's our behaviors. It's everything. There's no like right or wrong definition to sexuality. It's just a nice blanket term to encompass all the sexual things.
Well, I have another question. This person, they want their name anonymous, so we'll call them Annie, Annie Moss. But this person wants to know how they can tell their husband that they can't get turned on by him.
So they're probably not tapping in to what I call seduction learning styles. And so what tends to happen is, you know, I had a client who'd been married for 40 years. And she was like, my husband does not listen to me. My husband does not listen to me. How can I get my husband to listen to me? And I was like, well, you're probably coming at him the wrong way. This is what I need you to do. And so I told her how to what she needed to do in order for him to listen. And she did that thing. And she was like, holy shit, that was amazing. How did you know that? And I'm like, well, it's because he's probably like this. This is when you talk about him, this is the way that I see him. And so he probably can, he needs to connect with you in this way. And so I would say for the same thing for this husband and wife, like thinking about like, I assumed it was, you said Annie. So then I automatically assumed. So I don't know if it's whomever between two people. You need to learn their seduction learning style, right? So if your husband is he visual, is he auditory, is he kinesthetic or tactile, tapping into those. But the thing is, he also needs to tap into that for you too, right? So the reason why you're not being turned on is because he's not being, maybe he's talking to you and that's not the way that you are learning or communicate or get seduced. So that's part of it. So seduction learning style, so him knowing who, what kind of person you are is going to help him understand how to communicate with you better. The second part is it could be some sort of, you said doesn't turn you on. So that could be sexual skills. Sometimes I think things are skill-based and people need to learn better skills. And a lot of, I hate to say this, but you know, a lot of cisgender men have a hard time thinking that they need help with their sexual skills. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, sometimes they don't want to learn or don't want to take direction. And that can hinder their sexual experiences and their ability to turn someone on. Or they've been lied to, right, their whole life, because women are just like, oh, I'll just say whatever I want to say and then to get you out of my face. So they learn things that are not very helpful. And so one is it might be skill-based. That might be the second thing. If he might not be able to turn you on because maybe he doesn't have the skills, or maybe you are not communicating with him in a way that he needs, or using positive reinforcement, right? So for instance, if I wanted a better kiss, I could say, oh my, I love the way your lips are. Your lips are so beautiful and amazing. I love the way they feel. I would love for you to kiss me this way, right? So using that positive reinforcement to encourage good behavior is going to help someone want to do things. And most of us want to please, you know, most of us want to please people. So I think it's just important that those aspects are being done. So if they're not being done, then working on them hopefully will help you to get turned on. But there can be other factors too, like the sexual inhibitor scale talks about, you know, what are your breaks? Maybe your husband doesn't turn you on because you're too stressed out, because the kids are running around, the house is dirty, you know, like whatever the case may be. Maybe your breaks are on because the stressors are too high. And so you can't allow yourself to feel or to sexually feel or to get that arousal or desire because you're thinking about, you know, what to make for dinner or the next thing.
You're fantastic.
Yes.
This is off the cuff stuff. I had one that came in, and I've heard this by some of my clients in the past 10 years, but this person is Miranda, and hopefully her husband isn't listening, but she said, I'm so tired of faking. I'm so tired of faking orgasm. Please help.
That's a hard one, because once you start faking it, then it's going to be hard to stop, but it can be done. And so I think first off, you need to extend your foreplay, right? Extend what the foreplay is. Is it the touching, right? Where do you want to be touched? Slow it down. Slow down the sexual interaction. Do things that, you know, that turn you on, maybe like kissing or kissing slowly, kissing the body parts, rubbing, you know, and not just going into penetrative sex. Sometimes people want to do no foreplay or quick foreplay and think that, oh, I have, you know, penetrative sex is going to help me to have an orgasm. No, right? We know factually, research tells us that, you know, men come in 1 to 7 minutes, while it takes on average for, if someone can have an orgasm vaginally, which is pretty hard to do, right? 75 to 80% of women do not, right? So number one, if you're not having orgasms during penetrative sex, that's normal. I hope so. I want people to know that's normal. And then thinking about the extended time that you need in order to have a vaginal orgasm is going to be around 20 minutes on average. So 1 to 7 minutes and then 20 minutes, right? So you have to think about that discrepancy. So what are the things that you can do to have an orgasm? Is it oral sex? Because clitoral stimulation is probably going to be your best bet into orgasm, as the clitoris is our main sex organ that has is made for orgasm, right? And it's analogous to the penis. So thinking about that kind of stimulation, and understanding, yeah, your body and what it takes to orgasm, and talking to your partner and being like, this is what it takes for me to orgasm. I need you to do things like this. So yeah, stop faking. Stop it. Talk to him. Talk to him and say, like, hey, you know, I would really love to start having sex in some different ways, or like, let's spice up our sex life. And maybe that in and of itself will help you to build up arousal, and be more upfront about what you want as far as orgasm. Yeah.
Yeah. So does your book touch on that? I'm assuming the foreplay and the seduction learning that you're talking about?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, put up your book so we can see and know where we can get it.
Yes. The Ultimate Guide to Seduction and Foreplay. So you can get it on my website, thevelvetlipssexed.com/shop. I think Amazon sold out on them now, but I think they're still available on like Kindle. But they are, they're making more. I hope they're making more.
Well, I hope so but, too.
Yeah. But yeah. If not, they're on my website. You can get an autographed copy on my website. So I have a ton of copies.
Awesome.
Yeah. But we talk about, foreplay, seduction. We talk about, cause a lot of times people think foreplay is oral sex, or something like that. And we're like, that's sex. It has sex in the title, means it's sex. So what are the other things that you need to do besides oral sex that is considered foreplay?
Okay. Yeah. Where can people find out more information about all of your services?
You can go on my website, velvetlipssexed.com. Or marlastewart.com, marlareneestewart.com, either one of those, but velvetlipssexed.com, or you can find me on social media at @1MarlaStewart or at @velvetlipssexed, sex without the E.
I put your name in last night, Marla Renee, and it S-T, and bam, there you were, where I watched your wedding, and that's how I know those
interviews.
I mean, there's a lot of ways to reach you, Marla, and I'm so grateful for the time that we've had with you today.
Yes,
thank you.
Pleasure. Yeah, thank you so much. And let us see the book one more time, just so we get it.
Yes, there you go. And awesome. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it, and it was lovely to see you again. And
yes,
bring me back when you want to bring some more sexy back.
Of course, all the time. Yes. And so upcoming on our last February show, we have Sherry Gaba on Love Smack and Love Addiction and Codependency. And don't forget to like us on YouTube and find us and subscribe to us. And this has been the Bringing Intimacy Back show. Thank you, Dr. Kelly, for co-hosting for this week. And we will see you guys next week. All right. Thank you.
Peace out. Mic drop.